Translation: O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies, beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.3, Yagya Dana Tapa Karma Nacha Jam, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, charity, austerity, and all such prescribed duties are never to be given up. Yagyo Danam Tapascheva Pavanani Manishinam, 18.5. Even one who is very much advanced in spiritual realization must still execute the Vedic principles. Even in the lowest stage, the karmis are advised to work for the sake of the Lord. Yagnartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. The words yagnartat karmana indicate that while performing all kinds of duties, one should remember that these duties should be performed to satisfy the Supreme Lord, svakarmana, tam abhyarcha. According to Vedic principles, there must be divisions of human society, chaturvarnyam maya shristam. There should be brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, and everyone should learn to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tam abhyarcha. This is real human society, and without the system, we're left with animal society. The modern activities of human society are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the activities of gokara, cows and asses, saeva gokara. Everyone who is acting in a bodily concept of life involving society, friendship and love, or the improvement of economic and political conditions and thus all activities are enacted in ignorance. The Supreme Personality therefore comes to teach us how to act according to the Vedic principles. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preached that in this age, the Vedic activities cannot be systematically performed because people are so fallen. He gave this recommendation from the Shastras: Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Gatir Anyata. In the stage of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore teaching people all over the world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and this has proved very much effective in all places at all times. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to teach us Vedic principles intended for understanding Him. Vedes cha sarver aham eva veja. We should always know that when Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appeared, they appeared in Shuddhasattva bodies. One should not mistake the body of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a material body like ours, for Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears as needed for the benefit of the entire human society. Out of causeless mercy, the Lord appears in different ages in His original Shuddhasattva transcendental body to elevate human society to the spiritual platform upon which they can truly benefit. Unfortunately, modern politicians and other leaders stress the bodily comforts of life, yasyatma buddhi kunapi tridatuke, and concentrate on the activities of this ism and that ism, which they describe in different kinds of flowery language. Essentially, such activities are the activities of animals, saeva gokara. We should learn how to act from Bhagavad Gita, which explains everything for human understanding. Thus we can become happy, even in this age of Kali. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Krishna sva dhammapagate dharma jnana dibi saha kalau nashti darsham esha Puranarko Dhanoditaha. So this Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is as brilliant as the sun, and it's appeared following departure of Krishna back to his spiritual world, accompanied by knowledge and religion. So persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance of age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So this Bhagavatam verse I just said is really one that gives us a lot of hope, because even though Krishna, he appeared on this planet just over 5,000 years ago and he had his pastimes and then he left, the question came, so what shall we do now? Like, where are the religious principles now? And Krishna's saying here, well, they're in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're in the Shastra, that's where they remain. So Krishna never disappears from our sight. He's always somewhere to be seen. Vedischa sarver ahameva vidya. So by all the Vedas I'm to be known. So within all these wonderful Shastras, Krishna is present, because Krishna is absolute. Then his name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, they're all the same as Krishna. So therefore we approach the Srimad Bhagavatam with great reverence, because Krishna is there. So as for us, well, because we are actually eternal nature, whether we realize it or not, some are beginning to realize it, and most people on the planet don't realize that. But because we are, it means actually that we are seeing eternity all the time, that we are aware of eternity. And because we're aware of eternity, we're looking for satisfaction within that eternity, because eternity is a very long time. Right? So we know that we're looking for that bliss that we know is there. But we fall down at every step, because we're encased in this material body and living this material nature. So we get bewildered completely by that. But still, we're so desperate to find that enjoyment that we'll settle for the lowest denominator. We'll be satisfied with enjoying dead matter. We're so determined to find it that we settle for that. And that's our problem. That's the human problem. So we lose our vision in the dense darkness of the ignorance of Kali Yuga. And in this Kali Yuga, the world is so constructed by the Srila Prabhupada's talking about the material scientists, the engineers of the modern society that we're living in. So, but there, the whole social construct is based on two main things. One is about achieving material comforts, and one is about attaining personal wealth. So all the time it's all about finding ways to try and be comfortable and trying to find ways to make more money. So this is all our perverted desires to try and find enjoyment. But these material scientists, social engineers, that's the way it's constructed, because everybody then thinks that they are actually finding it. So we can go to the shopping center and see all these shops offering all these wonderful glittering things, and we can take them on, but we're never really satisfied, because it doesn't satisfy the soul. That's the problem. So what we end up doing is we become satisfied just with trying to make this body satisfied and happy. But all it is, it's just a bag of mucus, bile and air. I mean, it really is. If you might not think it is, and many people wouldn't believe it is, but if you think about it, it really is. It's just like the lungs are just bellows, and the rest of it is just like blood and stuff going around, and then all the organs are dealing with waste products. It's not that pretty a thing. But we become so attached to that thinking that, well, I have to satisfy this body, I have to give it nice things, and I have to make more money so that I can give it better quality things. Because things come at a price. That's the material society. It's engineered that way. Quality things come at a price, so I must work harder, and then I'll be able to afford these better things to make my body better. But this is just complete illusion. And as well as that, then we'll also identify that our family and wives and husbands and dogs and cats and house and car, that they're actually our personal extensions. So we begin to think that these things are actually us. So we look after them very carefully. But we get into all sorts of trouble because these things, they don't have any real existence. They're just temporary objects made of earth. Ultimately, from the element earth come all these different manifestations. So it's quite a sad story, really. And worst of all is that most people, they will not identify with or aspire to the feeling that there's anything higher to be found, let alone actually going inquiring and looking for someone who's spiritually realized on the planet to try and find out what this is all about. Very few really do that because the overpowering sense is that everything is being provided. We might not be happy, but then, hey, who's happy, really? But we can be happy temporarily. So that overpowering kind of darkness blocks out the people's natural propensity to try and find within eternity the source of eternity. So we remain very miserable. And so Srila Prabhupada points out this other verse from Bhagavatam where Krishna is saying, Sa eva gokara, such people are like cows and asses. Great stuff. Like cows because, well, a cow will just, it will go and it'll eat anything. If you look after cows, you'll notice that they will try and eat anything. They don't care. In India, they'll eat plastic bags, anything they'll eat. They just want to eat something to satisfy the hunger. And an ass will work hard just all day long just to get some kind of satisfaction. Famously, the male ass tries to have sex life with the female ass and gets kicked in the head for trying to do so. So it's just like that, like cows and asses. So willing to just take anything into the body, thinking that you're going to become strong and resilient and be able to work some more and then working really hard for almost nothing just to suffer some more. So in that way, people are like cows and asses. So this is the dense darkness of ignorance about the age of Kali. But there is hope. So we find Lord Shabadev, who is Krishna himself, who appeared in the dynasty of Priyavrat, who we'll mention a bit later on, if we've got time. He talks about this with his sons. Lord Shabadev had 100 sons, the foremost of whom was Bharat, who became Bharat Maharaj, who this planet is now named Bharatvarsha after Bharat. So Lord Shabadev, he was speaking to his sons. He said, Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke, kashtan kaman arte vid bhujam ye, tapo devyam patrake yena sadvam, sojyat yatsmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. He said, my dear boys, of all the living entities who are accepting material bodies in this world, the one who is awarded the human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should practice penance and austerity to gain the divine position of devotional service. And by acting in this way, one purifies the heart and ultimately comes to the eternal blissful platform. So when he turns that eternal blissful platform, that eternal blissful platform is transcendental to all material happiness, and it continues forever. So the two things there are given. So Krishna is saying, well, there's two things. There's the dense darkness of ignorance, which is just accepting material things and trying to draw out some satisfaction from them. But the higher thing is to practice austerities and penance and attain to the divine position of devotional service, because only that will bring us close to any kind of satisfaction, any kind of real truth. So this part of Bhagavatam, this is the prayers by the demigods. So the demigods have come. Krishna is still within the womb of Yashoda Mai. So he's not yet born, but the demigods have all come to worship Krishna in the, still inside the womb. So they're offering all these amazing prayers. So the prayers of the demigods, they're very potent and they're very beautiful because they reflect the love, the deep love of the great, of the servants, the devotees of the Lord. So all these demigods, they're great devotees. They're like the engineers of the universe, you could say, as opposed to the material, the social engineers of the material world. The demigods are like the engineers of, they're assisting the Supreme Lord in the creation of the universe. So it's said that there are 33 million demigods. I don't know where that figure comes from, but that means they're pretty busy. There's a lot to do. So they're all, demigods are much more than human, beyond human, almost like human, but much more advanced in every kind of possible way. So we might think that humans are very attractive. We might think some musician or film star is very amazing, but compared to even demigods, they're nothing. So, and the prayers of the demigods come at certain, at several places within Bhagavatam even. They're very powerful and very beautiful. I personally meditate on two other prayers of the demigods every day that, that you find in the fifth canto. So there's one. It's Namo Jyotir Lokaya Kalayanai Nibsham Pataya Mahapurushai Biri Mehiti. So the demigods are saying, O Lord, who has assumed the form of time, of shelter for all the planets moving in the different orbits, O Master of all demigods, O Supreme Person, I offer my respectful obeisances to you and I meditate upon you. So the demigods are constantly approaching the Lord in a sense of prayer. And this is a clue for us. This is what we should do. By praying to the Supreme Source of everything, we'll make our lives sublime. We'll be in a much better situation. There's another one. I'll skip the Sanskrit with this one. But it's the demigods are saying, so I offer my respectful obeisances unto Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesh, who is the controller of all my senses and the origin of everything. As the Supreme Master of all bodily, mental, and intellectual activities, he's the only enjoyer of such things. The five sense objects and the 11 senses, including the mind, are his partial manifestations. He supplies all the necessities of life, which are his energy, and therefore non-different from him. And he's the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also non-different from him. Indeed, he's the husband and provider of all the necessities of the living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship him. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances to him. And may he always be favorable to us in this life and the next. So that's a very comprehensive prayer by the demigods. And it tells us many things. One is that all the things we have, all the senses, the sense objects, everything that we're attracted to, everything, all our senses, everything, all our body capabilities, mental capabilities, intellectual capabilities, they're all provided by Krishna for us. We're just a tiny spiritual spark encased with this. So Krishna has given us this opportunity to be in the physical world because we're here, because we wanted to enjoy ourselves separately from him. So here it is. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gornatai Shimati Vrindadeva Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Krishna is the source of all of our happiness, and he's providing everything, all the necessities he's providing. So therefore we should worship that person because he's the source. It's very simple. But this is what's missing in the dense darkness of ignorance in Kali Yuga. This is the information that's missing, and it's absolutely very crucial information. So here, they're saying, you know, Lord, during the time of manifestation, you're manifesting several incarnations. So Ultimately, there are many creations. Creations come and go over vast periods of time that we cannot even comprehend. I mean, what can we comprehend? We're so limited. We can maybe comprehend the idea of like a mountain turning to dust over a huge period of time. Imagine like Mount Everest, and suddenly Mount Everest is just a big pile of dust blowing across the planet. How long did that take for that to happen? A long time. You know, millions and billions of years, but that millions and billions of years is just one tiny part of one creation. But yet creations come and go constantly. The creations, they're manifested, they're maintained, and then they're destroyed. So this is the Lord's creation. So what can we understand? But even though we can hardly comprehend anything, Krishna still gives us all this information because, as we said, Krishna is absolute. So all the information about Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So it gives us the inspiration to grow this bhakti, this love of God. So the Bhagavatam outlines the creation, that Krishna himself is playing in his spiritual planet with all his boyfriends and girlfriends. He plays the flute with all the cows. He's in just bliss. But then from Krishna, he expands himself first as Balaram, which is a supportive kind of strength. And then Balaram expands this first Chaturvyuha, the Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. These are concepts which I won't go into detail now. And from that first Sankarshan comes Lord Narayan. So in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan is like the sun. He's the shining sun within the Vaikuntha planets. And from that Lord Narayan come the second Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And from that Sankarshan come the Purusha avatars. So first you have Mahavishnu, who's Karunara Dakshaya Vishnu. So he lies down in one dark corner of the spiritual world, and from his pores come millions and trillions of universes. Just he breathes out all these universes, trillions and trillions of universes. And then the next Purusha is the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu expansion. He enters into each one of those universes. And within each universe is like a Brahmanda or an egg, and it's half filled with water. So that Vishnu, he lies down in that ocean together with Lakshmi, taking care of him. And from him, the lotus flower comes from his navel. He dreams, starts to dream about creation. The lotus stem starts to grow, and then the lotus flower grows near the top of the universe. And on that lotus stem comes a Brahma. So Brahma sits in that lotus stem, and he begins to meditate upon the purpose, and he realizes the purpose is creation, and then that Lord Brahma will do his secondary part of creation. He will manifest everything all around. And then the third Purushavatar, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, is the Paramatma or Super Soul. So he enters into every atom, into the heart of every living entity within that universe. The Lord enters in his Vishnu form. So Krishna expands himself. Krishna is the remote cause of all of this, but he's separate from it. His expansions take care of the work of creation. And so Krishna expands as impersonal Brahman, as the spiritual energy, and as Paramatma, the spiritual life force. And that spiritual life force is within each of us, in the heart, and it's within every living thing that there is, has that living life force within it, Krishna. Within every atom is that life force. Between the spaces between atoms, there's that life force. So it's all pervading. Yet we're living in a society in the darkness of ignorance. Try and work it out. It's hard to. It's amazing meditation how we as humans can create a world which is devoid of any of that. We try to have something which is doesn't include any of that. What an incredibly ignorant position. So Prabhupada, he talks about this so many times. Just the real ignorant state of human society, how we're just behaving like animals completely. What's the difference between us and animals? So, but all is not lost, of course. And so then the universe is now created, and then many demigods come to fill that universe. They take up their place. As we said, the demigods are great devotees. They're like the engineers of the universe. They come in, and then they take their place to start to create progeny within the universe. And then Krishna expands his Leela avatars. Lord Nrisimha comes, Varaha Dev comes, Vamana Dev comes. The universe, it just fills up with life, because that's the nature of Krishna. It's full of life and everything, constantly life and energy and joy and happiness. That's the nature of Krishna. The impersonal idea just has no basis other than the impersonal energy that's coming from the impersonal Brahman. There is the impersonal aspect, but who could miss that everything is full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? So just by knowing this, even though we can hardly comprehend what all this means, how can we comprehend? We can have a picture of it, like pictures were painted. Srila Prabhupada asked his early disciples, who were qualified to begin to paint these pictures about these concepts of Vishnu, the different Vishnu forms, and they made these incredible paintings just by the mercy of the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada. These devotees could tune in to that energy and start to create amazing, amazing paintings of these concepts so that we can begin to understand them. And of course, these concepts, they inspire us to begin to remember our natural constitution. Because that's our natural constitution, to be the eternal servant of Krishna. Even though we're a manifestation, we're simultaneously one with but different from him at the same time. We are this tatastha shakti. We're drawn both towards the ignorance that is material energy, and we're drawn also to the spiritual effulgence of Krishna. So we can go either direction, and this is what we can see in the world, that many people, they start to seek spiritual knowledge from birth. Some people's lives, they're just always trying to find out slowly, slowly. Some children, you can see that they have a certain, they're looking for something, they have the energy, and some people seem to be cut off from everything. So it's because of that we are both. So, and then we have in the Bhagavatam, at the end of the chapter about creation, we have this verse which is said to be like the emperor verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami says this is the main verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, eta chamsa kalapumsa krishnas tu bhagavan swayam indrari vakulam lokam mirdiyante yuge yuge. So all of the above mentioned incarnations, he was talking about the different incarnations of Krishna, are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So all of them appear in planets whenever there's a disturbance created by the atheists. So Krishna always appears to protect the theists. So this is the real verse of the Bhagavatam, which is a complete knowledge which all other parts of the Bhagavatam relate to. So it's Jiva Goswami kind of says that this is like the commander or emperor verse. So if every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is like an army, then this verse is like the commander of the army. So you can imagine like an army of devotees like going out through the universe, like preaching pure bhakti, love of God, wherever they go. And that's what we're learning to do. We've come up to this position that we've been given this Krishna consciousness. So then we have to act on it. We have to spread it around That's what we should be doing in this, while we're in this human form of life. So these, all these armies of wisdom, we should spread them around. We should read the Bhagavatam constantly, and we should meditate on the meaning even of just one verse, one shloka, and meditate on it and meditate on it, and more realizations will come. And then when we meet people, we can try to convince them that there's something more than the mundane everyday life that most people are living. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is brilliant like the sun, and it's full of spiritual knowledge, which is none different from Krishna, and that knowledge will free us from all material bondage. The absolute truth will free us. So I was looking and remembering, actually, from my early days in Western Scotland, when as a child I used to have to go to church every Sunday with my parents and stuff. But I always remember there was one verse from the Christian Bible, which is very incredible, actually. It's that Jesus was saying to the Jews who did actually believe in what he was saying, not that there were all that many of them, he said, if you abide in my word, if you believe what I'm telling you, then you really are truly my disciples. And if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. So this is such a powerful verse. Actually, there's a lot within, of course, within the Bible, within the Quran, there's some very important concepts are given there. But it's just, unfortunately, they, for whatever reason, politically, they don't really hold it all together. This is why we're looking to these shastras like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, because they give the complete version. Running a bit low on time, as usual, because there's more stuff to say, but maybe just while I'm still on this, the Bible, actually, one thing I found out a few years ago, which is very interesting, was that everybody knows about the Lord's Prayer in, you know, Our Father, which art in heaven. But actually, there was a translation from the original Aramaic language. And Aramaic was the language that Jesus and the other Jews were speaking at that time in that part of the world. And if I can remember it, this is the translation of the Lord's Prayer from Aramaic, which gives a completely broader light to the prayer of a great devotee to God. So it's, O thou, the breath, the light of all, let this light create a heart shrine within, and your, O thou, the breath, the light of all, let this light create a heart shrine within, and your counsel rule to oneness guides all. Your one desire then acts with ours, as in all light, so in all forms. Grant what we need each day in bread and insight. Loose the cords of mistakes binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' faults. Don't let surface things delude us, but keep us from unripe acts. To you belongs the ruling mind, the life that can act and do, the song that beautifies all from age to age. It renews in faith, I will to be true. Beautiful, huh? So that's very rich, and it's so much better than Our Father, which was just, because that was the Greeks and everyone who got hold of that, and then they changed it to their own version, which was kind of devoid of bhakti, because they didn't understand the depth. And you can see that's the reason why modern Christianity has not been as powerful as it should have been, because really, at the time of shortly after Jesus, and we know Jesus did exist because Prabhupada's telling us he did exist, that shortly after he left the world, the Jews were destroyed, the temples were destroyed by the Romans. And so any of the Jews who did have that awareness of that great devotee, Jesus, they would have been dispersed, the writings would have been destroyed, everything would have been destroyed. But what happened was that you had all the Gentiles, the people in the Mediterranean regions, the Greeks and everyone, they were so eager to find God that they started this, what's called the Jesus movement. So rather it was a movement of people who wanted to find God. That was their purpose. And they, all they had was little scraps of what was left from the tradition of the life of Jesus Christ. So they took these little scraps, but of course they didn't have the philosophy behind them. They didn't have that culture behind them. They were living in the dense darkness of ignorance of Kali Yuga. So all they started to speculate, and gradually the bhakti was lost, and then it became, that's why it hasn't lasted in the way it has. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, of course, people who had grown up in the Christian tradition, many immediately sensed that here's the truth. This is what we're always looking for. This is what we're aspiring for constantly. Here it is. But here it's presented in its pure form, like pure bhakti. So this is what we need most of all. And this is what the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has provided for us. So it's always present somewhere in the universe. However dark it gets, it will always be there somewhere. So there was a lot more I was going to say, but it's already 5:30. So maybe I should stop there. Maybe someone has any comment or question?